Oh, snap! Wake up, stand up, and snap out of it. Take the risk right out of it. Wake up, stand up, snap out of it. Change your mind, begin again. Just snap.
Well, what could you do if you snapped out of it today? Well, you could help your dog be a whole lot healthier by switching them from kibble to raw. Right? Right? Absolutely. Hello, everybody. I'm Dee Mercer Moffat, the top dog at Raw Dog Food and Company, and this is the Raw Dog Food Truth. Listen, I hope you all had a wonderful Memorial Day and took some time to remember all of those who sacrificed so much for our freedom. To all the veterans out there, let me just say thank you for your service. Well, today we're going to be talking about when to rotate your dog's proteins like beef, chicken, or even lamb. But before we get to that, you know, I always have to read the reviews that come in, what people have to say about Raw Dog Food and Company. So let me just start off by reading Caitlin's review. Caitlin says, I really do appreciate you and Rick and your business. We love your products, your cheerful attitudes, and we listen to your podcast when we can. Juliet's tummy is doing so much better on your food. She loves eating again. And my cat has even started meowing again at mealtime. She has been struggling since my last dog passed. They were sisters, best friends for 13 years. And now she's beginning to scarf her food down again. So thank you. No, thank you, Caitlin. That's a great review. And from Amy Rowe, she says, Rick and Dee Dee are great people. Thank you so much. Not only do they offer a wide variety of fantastic products at a good price, they are willing to mentor and coach new raw feeders. They also research ways to keep pets happy and healthy. And I love the single protein blends with the right ratio of meat, organ, and bone. But I have to tell you, my dog loves the duck necks and the frames most of all. I had a recent consult with a veterinary dentist, and I will tell you that Amy is also a dentist, a human dentist. But Amy says, this dentist just could not believe that my six-year-old dog had never had a dental cleaning. They thought for sure he had done a dental in the last month because of his shiny white teeth. But then, of course, they told me bones are bad for dog. But that's another topic. Amy Rowe. Thanks, Amy. We appreciate that so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, today, you know who else I appreciate? I appreciate this woman right here, Carmen Goodrow. How are you today?
I'm just fine, thank you.
Oh, I see. You switched it on me. So you usually say great. And I say,
I know.
You know, you are great, Carmen. You know, in my keynote talks, Carmen, I have to tell you what I say about fine. I always say fine is a deadly place to be because fine is not good and it's not bad. It's just sort of in the middle. But, you know, that's a different topic. But, you know, what I do want to talk about real quick, Carmen, is this terrible thing that is happening with drug addicts and pets. And I don't know if you are aware of this, but I wanted you to be aware of it, and I wanted our listeners to be aware of it. But people, Carmen, are hurting their pets just so that they can take them to the vet and score pain medication. Can you believe that?
Well, it is unbelievable that they would harm their pets just to have access to these drugs. I don't know. I just can't even fathom that. It just is beyond me.
Well, I was doing some research on this because I had recently heard about it. So I was looking at some information. And in Kentucky, in 2014, a 23-year-old female dog owner, she cut up her dog with razor blades just so she could take the dog's pain medication.
Oh my God.
You will be happy to know that she was sentenced to 4 years in prison for doing that. Thank goodness. But, you know, we have an opioid epidemic in the country. And when they can't get their drugs, you know, people just, they're not in their right minds. They don't think right. But here's what I want our listeners to do. If you see something suspicious going on with pets in your neighborhood, please, please speak up. When it comes to children, the elderly, or pets, don't be silent. Be the voice for those who cannot speak up for themselves. Right, Carmen?
You betcha. That's the least we can do, because they do so much for us.
We really do have to be cognizant of what's going on around us. You know, get your head out of your phones, get your head out of your computers, and really be cognizant of what's going on around you. Ask questions, observe, and call somebody. You know, alert the authorities, alert, you know, somebody. But we, again, have to be the voice for those who do not have a voice. You know, I've gotten into it many times with people who say, it's none of your business. I was in Phoenix recently. Hot, okay? Hotter than hell. Let's just say it out like it is. And it was at a farmer's market, and it was on a blacktop, okay? Blacktop, hot.
Oh, my gosh.
At least 95 there. People are walking around with their dogs, Carmen, as if the dogs have on shoes.
I can't believe that. No.
And I'm watching the dogs. And they are raising up their paws. They're dancing around. And, of course, the owner has them on a leash and trying to get them to sit still. And I just cannot stand it. So I go up and I say, listen, your dog's paws are burning. This pavement is hot. Well, people would look at me like I was crazy, right? And so I thought, well, I'm gonna change my tactic. So I finally went up and I said, hey, we are out here today. I just said that. Hey, we are out here today and we wanted to alert everybody about how hot this pavement gets. About 150 degrees on these dogs' feet. Would you like to take your shoes off and kind of stand there, you know, barefoot and feel how hot this is? And people were like, oh. Some people were very receptive. There was one girl who I just loved. Carmen, she had a dog that was about 65 pounds. She picked that dog up and started carrying it around.
That's great. Hopefully you spur them to think a little bit further in the future.
Well, I tell you what I did do is I went up to the information desk right there at the farmer's market, and I asked the girl, I said, you know, I noticed that you don't have any signs around warning your patrons about how hot the pavement can be on pets' feet, on their paws. And this girl says to me, and I quote, well, it's a fine line because we don't want to discourage people from coming to the farmer's market and they like to bring their pets. I said, so what you are saying is that it is profits over safety. And she said, I think I'll shut up now. I said, well, I tell you what, I want to talk to, and so I just kept walking around talking to people. Finally, she walks over to me and hands me the phone. She had gotten her boss on the phone, the head of the marketing department. And this woman and I had a very heated conversation, no pun intended. But basically what she told me was that I could not exercise my free right of free speech to go around and talk to these folks about how hot the pavement was. She said, you can't go around and tell people. This. And I said, why not? And she said, well, because. And I said, because why? She never could tell me. And I said, I want you to know that I will be blogging about this. I will be talking about this on my podcast. You are welcome to come on my show. And then when we left, my cousins out in Phoenix, they sent us an email and they said, just let Dee Dee know that she did make an impact, because in their next email, they put out a warning. Not enough, in my opinion. I still believe that farmers markets need to do something more to help educate people about how hot the pavement is. Even here in Colorado, Carmen, when the pavement is black and the sun is shining, the pavement's hot. Take your damn shoes off and feel how hot it is. And if you can stand there for 15 minutes without moving your foot, then fine, walk your dog. But if you can't, then I suggest you don't walk your dogs on the hot concrete.
They don't think.
No, they don't. And then they want to tell me that I'm being a, you know, what they call these female dogs, right? What we call a female dog in heat.
Really?
That's what they want to call me.
Well, I think I'd rather say something and feel at least maybe I've made a difference and save those poor dogs' blistering feet than be quiet about it.
I had one gentleman, Carmen, who told me, and he had a puppy, okay, a big puppy. this puppy's feet, you know how they raise their feet and they're shaking their feet? You know what I'm saying? That they're like shaking. And I walked over to him and I said, sir, I have already warned you about the pavement. And he said, this is a puppy. He's dancing. I said, he is not dancing. You are burning his feet. And he said, why don't you go do something that you enjoy? I said, this is what I enjoy.
Good for you.
Speak up, people. Yeah, love you, dogs. Yes. You got to speak up. All right. Well, let's get to what we're talking about today, Carmen. We're talking about rotating proteins, and we're talking about all the different proteins that are out there in the raw diet. There's proteins from beef to chicken to lamb to turkey. But I have a question for you, a question that people have written in and asked me. Are dogs born with allergies?
I've never heard that they've been born with allergies, but it is totally possible, depending on the dam's nutritional condition before and during during the pregnancy. I'm sure it's totally possible. Yes, is not taken care of properly nutritionally, before she gets pregnant, matters just intensifies as gestation goes along.
You know, it is really true what they say, that a great lineage, you know, if you start feeding raw and you go through several generations, they are even more likely to be extremely healthy and less prone to develop these allergies.
Well, yes, and Dee Dee, that's one of the benefits of a rotational diet, a protein, you know, rotate your protein on a regular basis so that they don't develop allergies, okay? If all you do is present the same protein all the time, then you do have, you know, the dog's body has the potential to, you know, develop an allergy to it. Not so much so on a raw diet, but definitely on kibbled diet or cooked food, they can. It's not as likely on a raw diet.
Isn't it amazing what the commercial food industry has done to our brains? So they told us for years, I mean, years and years and years. Now, I've been feeding over 16 years. You've been feeding over 28 years. So we've been feeding raw for a long time. But still, that thought of buy one dog food and don't change your dog food, don't change your kibble dog food because it's going to upset their stomach. Isn't that amazing? They did such a great job of really brainwashing us, and what a great marketing gimmick that was. But as you were just saying, now we see all these dogs with allergies. And quite frankly, that is one of the main reasons we get so many customers coming over to the raw diet.
Well, first of all, what happens, Dee Dee, if all they are feeding is one diet, the dog's pancreas will only produce the enzymes necessary to digest that food. So what happens then is the pancreas gets very selective, produce a wide profile of enzymes to digest any protein that a dog would come by. It only digests the enzymes for what particular diet you are presenting the dog. And then that's why they get an upset stomach, because it takes the average dog 4 days. This is a healthy, average dog with good digestion. It takes them 4 days to change their enzyme profile that their pancreas is producing. So that's why it's actually easier to always be rotating proteins and keeping new things coming in so that they don't get a narrowed enzyme profile and the pancreas is always, all right, what's coming next? What's coming next? I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that. Here it is. Instead, you know, feeding the same food or the same protein all the time, you get a narrow enzyme profile. And of course, then you can't switch easily because the enzymes aren't present, and you will have upset stomachs and diarrhea. If not, actually throwing or vomiting the food back up.
The scariest part, I think, for people, pet parents who switch over from kibble to raw is what you just said. It's that vomiting and that diarrhea. And many times if we can't walk them through it and kind of hold their hands, because I understand it. You know, nobody wants to see their dog throwing up. So here's a question for you, Carmen. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about rotating these proteins. But the question is, you have a dog that's on kibble food, and they say, great, I've watched Pet Fooled. I'm totally convinced now. I'm going to switch over to the raw diet. They get, let's say, a chicken blend or a beef blend, but they start throwing it up. How long would you say, all right, let's just continue down this path?
First of all, if the dog has to be healthy, and you don't just do a straight switch from a kibble dog food to raw, just for the sheer fact of the pancreas, if you just all of a sudden do a sudden switch, you are asking to upset. It does matter whether it's a switch from, if your dog's been eating kibble and you switch from one manufacturer's kibble to another and you do it straight over, you're still going to get the same response. And that's what people don't think about when they switch from kibble to raw. The same thing would happen to the dog if they changed kibble from one manufacturer's to another, because the formulations are not the same. And the dog's, that, like I said, the dog's pancreas is only producing what enzymes are necessary to digest that particular food. So when you go from a kibble dog food to a raw diet, where the enzymes are present, it's totally different than any kibble dog food is, you are naturally going to have, you know, an upset stomach, vomiting, and diarrhea, or all of those things, a very good transition period first to get so that you, and its transition period is always to bowel tolerance. In other words, you only add in enough raw to their existing diet and to make sure that their stools stay firm and hard. All right, and then as you increase your raw diet and decrease your kibble diet, you don't give that poor dog an upset stomach or diarrhea or the vomiting because of the sudden change. Their pancreas is stuck if they've been eating the same thing for months and months, okay? So you have to do a very good transition period to what we call bowel tolerance. You never, ever increase if you have soft stools. You go back to the last ratio of raw to kibble where they had firm, hard stools. All right? And do not just think, oh, he loves the food. He loves the food. Let's do a crazy 100% switch right now and just throw the other diet away. You are really asking for problems with that, you know, for as far as any dog, but any dog, if transitioning, if you do it cold turkey, you're just asking for it.
Last week, you and I were talking about, not on the air, but we were talking in person, we were talking about even the raw patties that are out there. Let's say Estella and Chewy's. Well, it was Estella and Chewy's. Mm-hmm. Estella and Chewy's raw patties, Steve's raw patties, Vital Essential. So a lot of people say, well, they've already been on Estella and Chewy's raw patties. They are even seeing that they have to transition onto pure raw. And I, you know, Estella and Chewy's has a very high carb count in it for much of it. And so there's this thing that's happening. And I think that that people need to understand that you still need to go through that transition period, even if they've been on commercial raw, because this is a little bit different. This is going to be your pure raw.
Well, and that's the benefit. And do you understand, Dee Dee, that whether it's kibble dog food or like Steve's, or Stella and Chewy's, all the carbohydrates that they put even in their raw diets are to slow the dog's gut down. because carbohydrates, whether it's rice, whether it's carrots, whether it's sweet potato, it doesn't matter. Those carbs slow the dog's digestive system down. All right? So if you're feeding a pure, raw protein diet, you have to understand there's no carbohydrates in there to slow the gut down. So you must do a transition period, whether you're on kibble, whether you're on another raw diet, so that the dog's pancreas can produce the enzymes necessary, rather than using the artificial means of carbohydrates to slow the gut down. All right.
Now, let me ask you a question about that really quick, why my 20-year-old cat is deciding she's going to meow right during my show. Why is it that people put their let's say when their dog or their, well, not cats, but when their dogs are throwing up, that they put them on a bland diet like chicken and rice, when rice seems to be such a, you know, a hard substance? Is that a good thing? The chicken and rice, the bland diet?
Well, that's exactly why they put them on chicken and rice, is because, and they call it a bland diet, is because the high carbohydrate, because it's usually a 50-50, you know, 50% protein, 50% carb, the rice slows the gut down when a dog's having diarrhea. That's exactly why the vets do it.
Is there a better solution?
Well, first of all, if you do your transition periods correctly to bowel tolerance, you'll never even get to that point. That's the problem. If a dog is having digestive issues for some other reason, you got in the garbage, again, that's because the dog's not used to having whatever he found in the garbage. And so his body's not producing the enzymes necessary to digest it, and he will either vomit or have diarrhea. And when you get to that critical state of diarrhea, where, you know, it's just water going through and it's actually shedding the lining of the intestines, which is when you get the blood in the stools and the whole thing. I mean, you need to really, especially if it's done by the owner, after, because they're not being careful about doing a transition period, this is what the pain they're putting their dog through. So it's not ever wise to do cold turkey, whether it's from a raw diet with a lot of carbohydrates in it to just a pure protein diet. Why a pure protein diet is better than a carbohydrate protein diet? Well, first of all, a dog's pancreas only produces so many enzymes, okay? There's one enzyme in particular that is not produced forever, and it's not produced in large quantities forever. And that's the enzyme amylase, which, guess what, breaks down carbohydrates. So, and for some reason, female dogs have less amylase than male dogs. And their decrease in amylase production starts at a younger age. It usually starts between 6 and 8 years of age. Whereas male dogs, for some reason, their amylase doesn't decrease until they're 8 to 10 years of age. And so you're really pushing things with any dog, you know, female dog over 6, male dogs over 8, if they're eating high carbohydrate diets, because, and this is what the manufacturers are hoping, is that, well, the dog's just going to poop it out and it's not going to affect their digestive system. And yes, majority of dogs do just poop it out, but then they're not getting any value from that food at all, from that carbohydrate. Dogs were not meant to eat carbohydrates, and strictly from the fact of the enzymes their pancreas produce and in the finite amounts that they produce them. So you're wasting your money in feeding your dog carbohydrates when they get to middle age. And in some cases, it causes big problems, like allergies. I don't want to put my dog through that.
So, Carmen, we have, you know, some people in the raw feeding world who find something that they like. Okay, they like the chicken or they like the beef or they like the turkey, and they stay on that for a year. Now, we have these variety packs. We have them with tripe in them. We have them with just the regular blends. We have the HBMs. We have those available for folks that have everything in them that you need. How often would you say, listen, switch out your proteins. Give them something else. Is that every month? Is that every 2 weeks? How often would you suggest that they switch out the proteins?
If you're buying the 2-pound chubs and the variety pack, which is in 2-pound chubs, it's perfect to just switch every meal if you want to. It keeps the dog's pancreas producing a wide profile of enzymes all the time. There's nothing wrong with switching it every time you defrost a chub, a 2-pound chub. Yeah, maybe your dog's small and it takes 4 or 5 meals to feed a 2-pound chub. The next chub is a different protein, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you're always changing, it's totally healthy and beneficial for them. And guess what? Picky eaters love it when you're switching all the time because it adds variety. You know, when the wolf is out hunting for his own diet, he doesn't say, well, I'm going to eat rabbits for the next 4 years. He eats whatever he gets a hold of. Whatever he can kill is what he eats. And that's the way our dogs are all related to the wolf. They still are DNA-wise, genetically. They are below the wolf in the chain of evolution. And their pancreas still performs the same way. It's still there. So, you know, switching it up all the time is not a problem.
And like you said, you can always find out what your dog prefers because, as we said many, many times, that dogs, we know that they have a palate. Find out what they like. Switch up their food. Don't just get stuck on one thing. And you know what? You're going to have a happy dog. Well, Carmen, guess what? We're out of time again today. We want to thank you so much for being on the show. And you know what we say here at Raw Dog Food & Company? What do we say, Carmen?
We say, friends don't let friends feed kibble.
That is right. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Wake up, stand up, and snap out of it. Take the risk right out of it. Wake up, stand up, snap out of it. Change your mind, begin again. Just snap.
For more information, go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com.